Right now, we're going to bring on a very good friend of the program. Palm Beach Post golf writer Craig Dulch is joining us. Craig, good morning to you. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes.
Yeah, good morning, too. It's interesting, you guys were just talking about Justin Leonard. You know, he's gone through a couple swing changes in the last 4 or 5 years, and a lot of it stems back from, you know, trying to get a little bit longer because, like you said, he's not a long guy off the tee. And it just makes you, again, marvel at Tiger Woods that, you know, that he's got the fortitude. As great a player as he is, and clearly from, you know, 97 on, he's been probably the best player in the world. He's overhauled his swing twice. And you look at how many guys out there that have tried to do these sorts of things, you know, the Ian Baker Finches and you know, that tried to make some changes and just could never get back to where they were. And it really just shows what a fine line it is from those guys out there of winning tournaments and missing cuts. And once you start going down that slope, it's hard to get it turned around again. But Justin certainly has done it twice now in his career.
Yeah, Craig, not only is it do I marvel at how Tiger's been able to do it a number of times and then come back and win majors, but also his never-ending, relentless pursuit to be the best and to be perfect almost, and you're never going to get perfection in golf, but he wants to get as close as he can, that he even wants to undergo the swing changes. Most people would be fat and happy, and, you know, the first Tiger iteration back in 97 that won the Masters by a dozen shots, most people would have stuck with that swing for 20 years, but Tiger has not. And, you know, the WGC events are almost like a personal pension fund for Tiger Woods, and 26 career WGC events. This is Tiger's 26th career World Golf Championship. In the past 25 that he's played in, he's got 14 victories. The only other guy in the world that has more than one victory in the 26 previously played WGC events is Darren Clarke, and he's got two. 10 guys each have won once, including Stewart Cink. Tiger Woods, he's won 14 times in these events in the last decade.
Yeah, well, he wins about 35% of the time when you got 140 people in the field, so it only makes sense, you know. And it's not just less players in the field; it's tougher conditions. You know, where guys aren't going out. Like, look in Mexico yesterday; guys are shooting 61, 62, 63. You could put them on tough courses like Firestone and even Doral. You know, it's right where Tiger wants to play, because you got to go out there. You shoot 67, 66, you're gonna go flying up the leaderboard. Yesterday in Mexico, you shot 67, you'd stay about the same place or you might fall down. But certainly, you know, you look at Tiger and what he's done in the World Golf Championships. I mean, that was a criticism a lot of guys had early on. It's just a case where the rich get richer. But, you know, Tiger, he dominates no matter. You could go play putt-putt, he dominated in that. So it really doesn't matter how much money and how many people are in the field. He's just so much better than everyone else.
Craig, I wrote on my blog for ESPN 760 last week that you know, I understand Tiger's goals are to win the Grand Slam, to win as many Grand Slam as many majors as he can. And the Grand Slam, he said on his website, was definitely within reach this year. But I sort of said, you know, one of the, if not the biggest record in sports, in my opinion, is Byron Nelson winning 11 in a row in 1945. And I think Tiger could challenge that if he really wanted to. I don't know if that's a goal of his or not, but I think the way he's playing right now, and obviously we're assuming he's going to beat Stewart Cink today, that would give him like 6 out of the last 7, something ridiculous, even though a couple of those were unofficial.
Right. And the one non-win is a second place at the Deutsche Bank to Phil Mickelson.
Right. But, you know, do you think that that's even a possibility, Craig, that, you know, that this guy could win 12 in a row if he wanted to?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at the next three tournaments he's going to be playing in. He's going to be playing in Bay Hill, that he's already won 4 times in a row. Then he goes to Doral, where he's going to be going for his 4th tournament in a row. And then he's going to go to Augusta, where he's already won there 4 times. I mean, these are, you know, events that are just basically he showed he can dominate. And, you know, I think it just comes a point, like you say, that maybe a memorial or someplace where he's just not going to be out there at 100%. I mean, not necessarily at 100%, but he's not going to be peaking. He obviously wants to peak for the 4 majors. He's not going to not play as hard as he can in the others, but you know, he knows his body as well as anyone. He knows how to prepare for the majors, and you're never going to see him get there on a Tuesday and Wednesday and say, God, I'm exhausted because I just played the last 3 weeks. You know, that's where he knows that you remembered for, you know, the rest of all time in the majors. That's what they measure every great player by. But certainly, you know, somebody asked Tiger last week about could he have a perfect season? You know, could he be the New England Patriots and go all the way through and not even lose? You think about that, it's just about impossible to do because, you know, you go to Bay Hill, you shoot a 39 on the back nine. Well, you just lost 5 or 6 shots to the entire field. It's not like in tennis where you're just playing one guy every day. And he has a bad stretch of holes. it really makes it tough. But it just shows you, you know, how much better he is than the second guy and the third guy. I mean, the margin of difference between him and Phil is about margin of difference between Phil and, like, the 60th, 70th guy. It really is remarkable how much better he's become. And certainly once you get some confidence in this game, you know, you just become unbeatable.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic right here on ESPN Radio 760. Craig Dolch, golf writer for the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on the line. And Craig, the Post did a phenomenal job today with their Honda Classic preview section, an entire section devoted to this week's Honda Classic in the Sunday edition. And you write today that the Honda Classic assembling the best field in 20 years. And I got to agree with you. Ernie Els, Sergio Garcia, Retief Goosen, Justin Rose, Zach Johnson, Camilo Vajegas, Angel Cabrera, Luke Donald, Chris DeMarco, Mike Weir, Boo Weekly, Mark Calcavecchia, Freddie Funk, Justin Leonard, who we were talking about having that great resurgence, Brant Snedeker, David Toms. The list goes on, of course. Defending champion Mark Wilson there as well. Even Scott Hoke just won two straight events on the Champions Tour, figures that he's going to move up or move back down or however you want to term it and play in a PGA Tour event this week. Craig, you know, I know you've covered golf for a long time, specifically down here in South Florida. Are you as impressed as I am at this field for this year's event?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it got to the point for about 4 or 5 years that, you know, the whole story was how bad the field was. And you know, they were moving around, going from one course to another. Nobody liked Heron Bay. They had a bad spot on the schedule. You know, they're in between Doral and Bay Hill, and no one's going to skip, you know, Bay Hill because of Arnold, or very few guys want to do it. They're really stuck. And I think part of the problem was the old regime realized what they were up against. I think they just kind of stop trying as hard as they do. Ken Kennerly certainly given them a breath of fresh air. They've come in, they've tried to do everything in a very first-class manner. They've added a lot of other attractions, you know, for the wives to go on shopping trips and to have a catering. I mean, they realize, just like every tour event out there right now, you have to do these little extra special things to get the players to show up. But clearly, I think the number one thing, when you look at, you talk to Ernie Els, and I mean, Ernie wouldn't be here if they were playing in a course he didn't like. In fact, they came to PGA National last year and it took 5 under to make it into the playoff. That's what guys, the best players, want to play, where it's not just a putting contest. They think it's not only going to be a true week, but it's going to help them prepare for tournaments down the road. And I think as long as they stay at PGA National, the champ, I see this tournament just going to get better and better. Obviously, the big thing would be when Tiger moves down here a couple, maybe 2 or 3 years, when he gets settled and he plays down here, you know, then it's going to be I can't imagine what the crowds will be like there, but they certainly, everything is heading in the right direction. They're doing it the right way. They didn't try and do it overnight, and you know, at least we're not going to have to worry about John Daly and his antics this year too, after what we went through last year with him.
Craig, part of the article also goes into the fact that it looks like the Golf Channel is only going to televise 2 hours of the Honda instead of three for their allotment, I guess, on Wednesday or Thursday and Friday. We're going to have Ken Kennerly in here in a second talk about this a little bit more in detail, but ostensibly it says because the Honda didn't buy enough ad time on the Golf Channel. And they also want to show some of this women's championship from Singapore, which I can't believe anybody has an interest in watching any
Come
of that.
Come on.
So,
I don't buy that at all.
In your opinion, what is it strictly because of ad? Because you mentioned Tiger. If Tiger's in this event, I don't think there's any way, whether Honda bought any advertisement, that the Golf Channel wouldn't televise. They televise as much of this as they could. What's really going on here, Craig, in your opinion? Is this some kind of a power play with the Golf Channel? Why don't they see that, you know, that I think people would much rather watch an additional hour of the Honda with the stellar field that we just talked about, rather than some 1 hour, I don't even know what you're going to get from Singapore with the ladies?
Well, unfortunately, the Golf Channel, and I used to do a lot of work for them. I have a lot of friends up there. But, you know, like a lot of places right now, money is dictating a lot of their decisions. When they went to the European Tour, you know, they've shown the European Tour forever. They no longer have their production company doing that this year. They're relying on a production company, different production companies, wherever the events are being played, and they're doing that for one reason. Is they can save money. I mean, look at all the infomercials you see on the shows. I mean, how many times are we going to watch the big break? You know, I mean, Golf Channel, I mean, they've come a long way, but really, you know, there's a lot much farther they can go. I mean, they look at things very short-sighted, I think, at times. I don't understand why they wouldn't just go ahead and show the 3 hours. No one's going to say anything. Ken's not going to come on and say anything bad. I mean, because they're all in this together. They're all partners. Nobody wants to criticize the other side. But, you know, it doesn't make any sense that this is going to be the first tournament all year that they're not going to show 3 hours. Now, there are going to be tournaments when you get into the summertime where, you know, they're not as big marquee events, or there's like maybe the U.S. Senior Open, some other marquee events on the other tours that they are going to be cutting back a little bit. But it just seemed pretty odd to do it this year. And you know, I talked to Keith Allo, and he was saying this is why. I mean, you know, I think they're just making stuff up. They clearly are trying to you know, use the position they have with this 15-year deal with the PGA Tour to get as much money as they can to try and stabilize their ratings. I mean, they don't even release ratings. So, I mean, there's still issues. The Golf Channel's still, you know, growing. It still needs to kind of figure out what it wants to do. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, people are not going to see only 4 hours of the first and second rounds, 6 hours. But, you know, there's not much. They were able to solve the problem at the last minute last year, but this year I think they just said we're not going to do it unless people want to step up and do what we want them to do. And unfortunately it's the golf fans and the viewers, you know, who pay the price for that, because they just don't get to see. Or you watch a European telecast, some of them are awful now because they have no control on the cutaways. You know, they just end in the middle of a sentence. I think sometimes money becomes just too big of a driving factor for them as opposed to the quality of the product.
Yeah, we're going to have Mike Dyer on the show in just about 20 minutes from now in studio. He's a marketing consultant for companies like Sony as well as American Honda, and he can shed some more light on this TV issue and help us understand exactly what's going on between the Golf Channel and Honda. But, Craig, we always appreciate the time. Great job, as always, Palm Beach Post's golf writer Craig Dolch, a good friend of the program. We look forward to seeing you all week long at PGA National this week, Craig, and we'll definitely have you on the show sometime soon.
You may need to bring your sweaters this week. It's going to be a little chilly out there.
Yeah, that's what the weather
is. We like that. Though.
As long as it's chilly and no rain, knock on table here, we'll be all right.
Sure. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
There he is, Craig Dolch, the golf writer for the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on the show, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.